Good morning, City Church. This is City Church Together for Tuesday, May 25th. For a lot of you parents out there, I know this is the last full day of school. So whether that's good news to you or bad news, you can either celebrate or mourn. And we will rejoice with those who rejoice on the last day of school and weep with those who weep. Today, we are going to be in Acts chapter 4 as we read together as a church through the book of Acts. And today's reading is Acts 4, 13 through 22. And then we will, I'll read it, and then we'll highlight a section of this scripture and talk about it and respond to the Lord together. So here we go, Acts 4, 13. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in opposition. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What should we do with these men? For an obvious sign has been done through them, clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that this does not spread any further among the people, let's threaten them against speaking to anyone in his name again." So they called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than God, you decide. For we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them further, they released them. They found no way to punish them because the people were all giving glory to God over what had been done. For this sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. And that's the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 4, which I honestly feel kind of insulted by that last bit. A man over 40 years old. Come on now. Some of us over 40, we're young at heart. All right, let's talk about the other parts of this passage. So to note here, the they here is talking about specifically the sort of the Jewish council here, the Sanhedrin, some of the religious leaders who are watching this early part of the church, and Peter and John both healing a man and then also giving glory to God and pointing people to Jesus Christ crucified. The verse right before this section is where they say, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by which we must be saved. So that's what's happening. And the folks in the Sanhedrin do not like the fact that this seems to be pulling people away from, in their mind, the allegiances to the God of Israel. More importantly, though, for the members of the Sanhedrin, is they do not like that this is pulling people away from their authority. So the Sanhedrin feels like they are losing control. So that's what I want to focus on today, is I want to focus on the general idea here of the Sanhedrin, who are fearful people. You can see it in the way they talk. And the Peter and John, who come off as fearless people filled with the Spirit of God. So the verse in particular that I want to highlight is verses 19 and 20. So let me read that again. Peter and John answered them. This is after the threat. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it's right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide, for we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." Additionally, let's tie in with that another thing that we saw at the top of this, which is when they, in verse 13, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. Okay, Sanhedrin, now let's explain. That's our E in here. All right, so to explain this, what we have here is a group of men in the Sanhedrin who are afraid they are going to lose something. Particularly, they are afraid that they are going to lose their control, their authority. When they hit this moment, because people are converting to Jesus, okay? So in this particular moment, what they do is they grasp for control. So their fear leads them to a grasping of control, which they come together, they make a plan. Let's try to control Peter and John with threats. We'll make them do what we need them to do. And in that fear, they deny clear evidence that they themselves, I mean, when they get together behind closed doors, they talk about it. I mean, it says in verse 16, an obvious sign has been done through them. Can you see some of the insanity of this? They are owning up that they recognize early on that there is that they were amazed and that they had been with Jesus. So they're amazed at what's happening. An obvious sign that the Spirit of God with them is before them, and yet still they conspire to grasp control. So this is just further evidence that shows, gang, it's not facts that change us. We are not presented with a set of facts and we sort of reason through our positioning. So much of what we believe and what we have faith in and where we will step out has to do with what we experience, not with whether or not facts have been presented to us or not. Again, from this last sermon, the sermon before this last one, we talked about facts and feelings and kind of the role they play, and we certainly need objective facts. But you can see the Sanhedrin here. Like, the evidence is right in front of their face that God is somehow moving in these people, that they are doing good work, and yet they try to control it. Okay, now let's contrast that with what we see of Peter and John. Peter and John don't have the authority other than what's been given them by God. Peter and John, they're walking around the streets, healing people, sharing Jesus with people. And when they are threatened, their response is not to grasp control. And that's what happens in verse 19. Look what they do. They go ahead and throw control back into the hands of the Sanhedrin. They recognize what they have control over and what they don't. They say, hey, you guys go over there and decide whether or not you think you need to kill us or we should keep on living. In other words, they say, you decide. Now, there's a little bit of rhetorical game going on here, but you decide whether or not we should listen to you or God, right? So it's y'all go over there and decide. Meanwhile, they say, we are unable to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Do you hear what's there? Another admission of something that they can't control. What does that word unable mean? We are unable to stop speaking. In other words, there is something so compelling that even what we're doing in healing people and in telling people about Jesus is in overflow. Something, or rather someone, has taken over us. So you have Peter and John, who are in this passage, the ones who are in the least control, have the least amount of agency, you might say. But yet, when you read the passage, they are the most powerful people in this passage. Isn't that wonderful? They have no control, and they are willing to admit it about the Sanhedrin. They have no control, and they are willing to admit it about the Holy Spirit. We are unable to stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. And it is clear that they have been with Jesus. They were 100% affected by Jesus, and the Sanhedrin still has power to take their lives or to throw them in prison, which is virtually taking a person's life. Okay, so that control is out of their hands, and yet, look how, at least the CSB describes this section, the boldness of the disciples. Let's apply this. Boldness is not determined by the amount of control or authority I have in a situation. Gang, that is a big deal. When you're walking with Jesus, your ability to do the right thing is not determined by the amount of control you have in a situation. It is your boldness is going to be determined by the amount that the Spirit has control of you, which is what happens here. You have two people being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are unable to do anything other than speak about what we have seen and heard. And that's evident to everybody because everybody's amazed by what they're doing because they can tell you have been with Jesus. So, have you been with Jesus? Are you yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit to fill you daily? Trevor, what does that look like on a daily basis? That means at the first of every day, I'm starting every day with repentance, confession, and repentance and acknowledgement of the presence of God in my life. Yes, Lord, this day is yours. This day is not mine. This is yours. Yes, Lord, I've sinned against you. Yes, Lord, you have forgiven me. Today is you. You're with me. There is nothing about today that is going to take you by surprise. So I give you control of this day. I do not want control of my day. I want you to have control of it. Open my eyes to see where you are calling me to testify to what I've seen and heard so that others can know that I've been with Jesus, and they can too. And then the things that are out of your control, the threats that come against us, we can say, you decide. That's up to you. You decide what you want to do with me. You decide, husband, wife, how you want to treat me. You decide, children, how you're going to treat me. You decide, coworker, what you're going to say to me, how you're going to interact with me. I cannot control your actions. What I can do is be controlled by the Holy Spirit so that out of me flows love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then, isn't that a wonderful thing? You don't have control of anything. Holy Spirit's got control of you. You're not trying to control other people. How freeing is that? Lord, you know, lead me to a place without borders. Walk upon the water. You know, like, take me there. What a freeing thing. Doesn't it feel like it shouldn't be freeing, giving the Holy Spirit control, lose control? And yet it is the most, because you're not like the Sanhedrin, constantly trying to control situations and people. And what that ends up with is threats. I need to control people. I need to manipulate people. What a gift the Holy Spirit is for us, so that even, yes, even us, quote, verse 22, over 40 years old, there is still hope for us to be healed and controlled by the Spirit. And so let's respond to that with a hearty yes and amen. So go to a Hardee's and order your biscuit and say yes and amen. That is a hearty yes and amen. But we'll do one with prayer. That one was bad, guys. I went really low for that. I apologize to you, and I will confess that now. Lord, forgive me. All right, let's be silent and pray. Heavenly Father, I confess that control is sometimes a comfort for me. Yet when I do that, I'm just way more like the Sanhedrin than I am like Peter and John. I want to be filled with your Spirit so that what I have seen and heard, what I have spent in my time with Jesus, can overflow to others. For all those listening right now, Father, unless their hands are like holding a steering wheel, will you right now prompt them to open their hands and pray this? Heavenly Father, I give you control. Holy Spirit, I am yours. Fill me now and make this day yours. Open my eyes to see your calling and the opportunity for me to bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control to those around me so that others will be amazed that I've been with Jesus. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit, amen. City Church, what a gift. Go and multiply the gospel. Give it a buck.